the How to Be a Minimalist podcast, where it's all about finding your kind of minimalism. Feel free to come and hang out with me on Instagram at howtobeaminimalist, or you can also email me at howtobeaminimalist@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the show details to find links to the articles I talk about, my YouTube channel, and books that I've written. And now it's time for the show. Episode 32, How to Start Practicing Minimalism. Hey there, minimalists. I hope you are having a good week so far. We are actually back on the road after having spent a good amount of time with family, and we are off again, and it's really nice. We love the state and national parks, and it's just, I don't know, it always feels good to be in nature. We are currently staying at Willard Bay State Park, which is just a little bit north of Salt Lake City in Utah, and there is this auto tour of this bird refuge. It's Bear River Bird Refuge, I think that's what it's called. We went and drove that last night. We got out one time to take a picture because the mosquitoes were so bad and just our clothes were covered with them. Amazingly enough, none of us got bitten. We just brushed them off and got back in the car really quick, and then we didn't get out of the car again. But it's been really nice to be out again, and just, oh, I love the fresh air. I woke up early and I finished prepping for this podcast episode, and then I went for a run and lifted my little hand weights I've got in here, and I don't know, it's a good start to the day. I feel like it's going to be a good week. Now, of course, I've probably just jinxed it, but I will use my emotional minimalist practices to make sure it's a good week. For my personal update, like I said, I have been working out, and it's a funny thing. I know that I need to move my body. I know it's really important. Spending so much time caregiving last year, it just made me realize, like, wow, in general, people really need to move their bodies as much as possible to a healthy extent. I'm not talking about, you know, extreme working out. It's just, it's a really important thing for us to move our bodies, and the less that we move them, I think they become where they don't want to move. It was actually a really difficult realization for me, but it's helped me to kind of stay motivated to keep moving my body as much as I can, and it's healthy for me. And of course, you need to evaluate what's healthy for you, and, you know, talk to a doctor and all that good stuff so that you're taking actually good care of your body. You don't want to overdo it either, because there are two sides of that extreme. But I don't know, whenever my mind starts getting out of whack, I always kind of have to take a look at my activity level and how much I am spending time creating. Because when I'm not spending much time creating and kind of escaping into that world for some release and good, healthy emotional expression, it's always a bad thing. And when I'm not getting exercise, I'm also not getting out, you know, just some of those physical exertions. Like, I see my kids and I can tell, like, whoa, you need to go get some energy out before the end of this day. We haven't been inside too much. I noticed that in them. Why am I any different? Of course, I'm not. So as I've been kind of trying to do a little mental health tune-up, those are kind of the things that I've been trying to get back into focus, and working out has been really good for me. I've been journaling again, which is one of my goals, and I kind of set that aside. I was doing so well. I was journaling every day about a page. I love journaling. It's such a great thing to do to keep on track with goals, as well as just kind of putting your thoughts out there and being able to clarify things. But I've also been listening to a lot of music, and the music has been really helpful and just given me a little bit of alone time, even if I'm not alone. It's been really nice. Being intentional about these things this past week has been really good for me, and it's really helped me to understand some of my feelings right now, and I feel like that's been good for me. So that's kind of my personal update. I've kind of been doing, I guess, out of my goals for this year, I wanted to improve my mind, improve my body, and improve my business. I guess I was really focusing on improving my mind and my body, especially my mind, just taking a little extra care of it, and that's felt good. For my something interesting today, I found an article called I've Been Thinking a Lot Lately from Beautiful Minimal Millennial. And you can also follow her on Instagram at Beautiful Minimal Millennial. I love her Instagram posts. They're such great tidbits of minimalist or simple living practices, and they always just give me a little something to think about. I love that her blog is so well-rounded. I've read many of her articles, and this is someone that is just really involving all of the different aspects of minimalism into her life. And I really appreciate that because I wish I would have seen a blog like that. I can't say that when I was first practicing minimalism that I had the best resources. And of course, that was a long time ago. The internet was a really different place 10 years ago. So I guess to me, it's just really refreshing to see voices like that out there that are giving great messages of all the different aspects of minimalism that we can practice and to give some great ideas of how to pick and choose what you want to do. I love this piece because Bonnie is reflecting on her minimalist journey and kind of how she got there. She says, "My life might not be perfect. It might not be your version of a great life, but my life has slowly become my life. I have learned to say no. Still a struggle, honestly. I have learned to work with what I have. I have learned to budget. I have learned to save money. I have learned to live more simply. I have learned to live with flexibility. I have learned to walk my own journey. I would guarantee that if someone from my past saw my present life, they would think I lost it. And I'm totally okay with that." That's the beautiful thing about minimalism. My life does not have to look like your life, and that doesn't have to make you happy or unhappy. Your life can make you happy and be a place where you flourish. Minimalism is just a fantastic tool for weeding out the stuff that you don't really want. It's easy to come to a place where we just accept things into our lives because we think that that's the thing that everyone else does. That's what society says we should do. And then we finally find ourselves living in a way that we really don't want to live. But we've created this thing and now we feel like we just have to kind of stick with it. It's not so. We can slowly eliminate the things that are creating discord in our lives and we can move forward. We can create something that's beautiful for us. I think Bonnie is doing a beautiful job with that, particularly if you are looking for somebody that's being super honest and open about how she's getting out of debt and has gotten out of debt. I would totally check out this website because she talks about how minimalism has helped her with that. And it's very, very uplifting. Check out her website. I've been wanting to do this podcast episode for a while. And when I realized that I wanted to do an episode on how to start practicing minimalism, I kind of laughed because I maybe should have done that in the beginning. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. I'm going to do it now. I do think that there are a lot of people that listen to this podcast that maybe want to practice minimalism, but haven't exactly gotten started. Although I do think if you want to practice minimalism, you're probably making some choices that are minimalistic and probably doing great. The thing is, though, I decided if somebody asked me, give me your top 4 steps to begin practicing minimalism, this is what I would tell them. And I wanted to do this episode so that if you are wanting to get started and haven't felt like you could take the leap yet or weren't really sure about where to start, this might give you a little bit of guidance. The first thing that I would tell people to do that are beginner minimalists is to stop buying stuff. This might sound really simple, but it can actually be tricky. Sometimes we have either hoarding tendencies or maybe we've got shopaholic tendencies or different things like that. And sometimes those things are so therapeutic to us that we want to keep on doing them. It can also just be that we like having stuff and like buying stuff. It can be a simple thing. Sometimes buying stuff has very deep underlying issues, and so stopping buying stuff can be really tricky. The other thing is that sometimes when we see what other people have, it makes us feel like we should have those things too. And in a world where you can see what everyone has all the time because of social media or the media or whatever, the internet, I guess, it's so easy to compare ourselves and to say, oh, that person has that. I really wish I had that. And because we don't see the full picture of how the person got to that point or with the sacrifices they make in order to have those things, we just kind of tend to want what everyone else has. I kind of personally think that this is a very primal thing because for however many years we have needed things to survive. And probably our ancestors were very, very careful with the things that they had and very careful to not let those things go, to not let them get ruined and things like that. I think gathering is just a part of human nature. When we put on halt spending money and bringing things in, it kind of helps two different areas of minimalism. So first off, it helps our budget and it allows our budget to become a lot healthier. We can then have some of that money that we were spending to maybe pay off debt, maybe save up for an experience. Not spending it on things that you don't really need will allow you to be able to do other things. The second thing it will do is it will stop adding to your collection. When you actually use what you have, we allow the wear and tear process to begin. I think a lot of people forget about the wear and tear process when they first start practicing minimalism. I think people forget when they are starting to let go of things that they will actually be able to get something new at some point, especially people that have some of those tendencies that I was talking about earlier. It's kind of soothing and comforting to know, like, I'm going to be able to buy things that I want at some point. And also, you can have things that you love. Minimalism is not about sacrificing everything that you have so that you can say, I have 100 things to my name. It's really not what it's all about. That might be a good tool, and some extreme minimalists may find that very cleansing. And if that's your kind of minimalism, awesome. I really, really admire people that have so few things and that's their lifestyle. It doesn't work for everyone though. And so I think a good starting point is saying, like, I'm going to just stop buying things and use what I have. And when I need more stuff, then I can replace the things that are worn out and that I've actually used up. And there's a lot of satisfaction that comes from using something up all the way. There really, really is. When you stop buying things, it allows for more simplicity and it allows you to see what you really want to have in your life. And I also really think that it takes away some of the confusion and chaos from having so much around us all the time. It slows the process of needing to decide what you should have in your home right now and where do you put this new thing. It allows you to give homes, like really good homes, to all of the stuff that you already have and will allow you to concentrate your efforts. My second step for practicing minimalism would be to write down your whys. A lot of times we forget why we're doing something and we generally need motivators. In order to be able to continue practicing minimalism, I think we always need a motivator, and the motivator is understanding why you're doing something. It is creating a reward for yourself. When we were finishing up renovating our home in order to live in an RV, I asked myself constantly, is this going to help me live in an RV? And if the answer was no, I would get rid of it. I would say, I want to live in an RV. And I would tell myself that over and over again. I can't tell you how much stuff helped me to get rid of. I feel like the process of getting rid of stuff, it can take a really long time. And so having a solid why, or two or three is actually even better, but having at least one solid why will help you to get to your goal. Maybe you want to have more peace in your home. Maybe you want to be able to fit all of your things in your closet. Maybe you don't want to upsize your home. Maybe you want to downsize or just stay in the home comfortably that you already live in. Maybe you want to have more time on your calendar to do whatever you want to do. And all of those things can be beautiful, wonderful whys, and they will help you to remember why you're doing this thing. I guarantee you that if you don't have a why, there will come a point when you don't understand why you're doing what you're doing and you just quit. You may not quit minimalism all the way, but you might take a step back or whatever, but it just makes it so much easier to understand why you're doing something and to motivate yourself. I know I've said this before on the podcast, but not having a why was why I quit. And I didn't quit for a really long time, but I did quit practicing minimalism for a while. I began and I practiced minimalism like crazy. We got rid of 75% of our stuff. And that was like, I think it was almost 10 years ago. And after that, I didn't have a why. I didn't understand why I was doing it all the way. And I eventually began to accumulate some things again. And I kind of resented minimalism because I didn't understand why I was living with less. Of course, when I realized how awful all of the overwhelm of things made me feel, I returned back to minimalism because my life was stressed out. It wasn't any better for not practicing minimalism. I just wasn't using it the way that would benefit me and my family the best. Write down your whys. I promise you it will help so much. If you just kind of have a little mantra that you say whenever you're going through your things or making different minimalist choices, it will probably help you. I hope it will. It helped me a lot. My step number three would be to ditch, donate, and declutter. Now, a mistake that I see a lot of beginners make is that they want to get this process done quickly. And while I totally understand that, it would be so nice to do the Mary Poppins thing and snap your fingers and have everything just disappear or be in its spot where it really should belong. It just doesn't usually work that way. Part of the problem is that it takes us a while to learn what we actually will need or want and what we really don't need and can let go of. Making that differentiation takes time and knowing ourselves and knowing what we actually use. So while it's tempting to just like go and bust through everything in a weekend, it's probably not really going to work that way. You can most certainly try and see what you can get done in a weekend. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. My thing is that developing a good habit of going through your things methodically and taking the time to understand what you will want and what you are happy to let go of and let someone else use, or maybe it's not useful anymore, needs to be thrown away. It's actually a good thing to give yourself that time, to give yourself that space to figure those things out. And it becomes a habit because it's something you're practicing doing. It's not just something that you do once and then you're done. That leads us into the second mistake that I see people make a lot, is that they think if they go through their things once, they will be done. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process. At least for me, I continue to go through my things. I'm constantly evaluating whether I need something or not. And it's actually kind of a good thing because it allows me to say to myself, you know, I'm not really ready to let go of that yet. I think I'll wait a month and see if I get use out of it, and then I'll let it go at that point or give it a prominent place in my home so that it will get used as it should. This kind of kindness to herself, I guess, is actually a really good thing, especially if you're going through things that kind of bring out emotional issues. It can be a very good thing to be able to say, you know, I'm not ready to let this go yet, and to just take the time to part with your things when you're ready. I know that people that are forced into minimalism and have their things just taken from them or gone through really quickly feel a lot of resentment. And so you don't want to have that kind of anger within yourself or wish that you would have done things differently. So giving yourself the time to go through things and to go through the process of creating a good habit and understanding yourself is actually, I think, in my opinion, a really good thing. When we're going through our stuff, sometimes if we feel like we have to get rid of everything, then it makes us want everything. If we just go into it with a mindset of, I'm just going to get rid of the things that I don't need anymore, you look at your possessions differently. You don't feel like you're being stripped of everything that you have. And so it gives you more time to take care of your possessions and to be able to get rid of things in a way that makes sense for you, without just stirring up a lot of emotions that don't need to be stirred up at all. My step number four would be, don't forget minimalist practices on your calendar. This is what Bonnie mentioned in her article, that she was saying no to different things. I know it's very hard, and I still struggle with saying no as well. You know, I think that before the mechanical and technical revolutions that we've experienced in the last 200 years, our world was definitely a different place and people were not always up in each other's business all the time. It is so easy to pick up your phone and call someone, text someone, chat with someone on social media, whatever, and to see what other people are doing. And there are just so many different ways that we are always all together all the time. And there are social expectations, at least in the U.S., to put your kids in this sport and that sport, and they should be taking piano lessons or this lesson. And it's just, are they in this club? Are they in that club? And it becomes so overwhelming so quickly. I feel like the neighborhood game of catch, that kind of thing doesn't really exist anymore because people are so busy doing other things. There, I think, is a really fine balance of goodness that comes from having scheduled activities, but free play is often very underrated. I guess I'm talking about my kids and my experience of watching them grow up and kind of checking out our calendar from the viewpoint of how I want to raise my kids and help them. But as far as adults go, I feel like some of these same things can apply. I guess I struggle with having meaningful time with other people versus, you know, having time spent on social media or something like that, connecting with people, but not the best connections necessarily because there are barriers of technology right there. It's not the same being in person as texting or messaging someone on Instagram or something like that. It's just not the same. And it's good and it's important and it's helpful and I'm so grateful and all of that stuff, but it's just different. Having a minimalist calendar has been such a wonderful thing because it's helped me to kind of differentiate some of these things and to decide what I would like on our calendar. It has allowed me to have free spaces on our calendar where I'm just like, nope, we're just not doing anything during this time. I'm not going to plan anything. And usually during those times, some beautiful, spontaneous things happen. For me, having a minimalist calendar was the biggest step in coming back to minimalism. It made me realize that, you know, all of these things that I've done to get rid of stuff, yes, they were a very important tool. And definitely it's hard to practice minimalism if you have a lot of stuff surrounding you and taking up your time. But I realized that I could have more time if I practiced minimalism, and I could also have more meaningful connections, more meaningful time spent with others, and more meaningful time with my family, as well as putting my kids into activities that I felt would be meaningful and important to their growth. I just said meaningful a whole lot of times, but that is so important to me. That is the whole point. I want my life to mean something, and I want to live in a way where it's not taken up by a bunch of little things that are just time killers and running out the clock. I don't want to do that. I want to have days that are full of good things, and those good things can be resting, playing a game with my kids, enjoying having a chat with each other. It can be so many different things, and so that's what I hope most to get out of minimalism, is clearing out the stuff that I don't want physically and emotionally and also on my calendar so that good things can be in our life and make space for those things that are most important. Those are my four tips. For a quick recap, you've got step one, stop buying stuff. Step two, write down your whys. Step three would be ditch, donate, and declutter. And step four would be make sure you use your minimalist practices on your calendar. Whether you are an extreme or barely minimalist, maybe you are very well practiced or a beginner, I hope that these tips helped you. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You are such a wonderful audience to have, and I'm just so grateful that you're here every week. Thanks so much for listening. And to close out, I want to give you my minimalist challenge. So I guess for this week, I'm going to say that even if you are a practiced minimalist, I challenge you to write down your whys. They are so important. I've talked about this a lot, I know, but it's really, really important to have that motivator. And I know that it's helped me practice minimalism, and I hope it will help you too. Have a great week, and remember, it is all about the experiences, not the stuff. I hope you enjoyed the show. With so many listening options, I'm glad you joined me today. If you'd like to support the show, please consider leaving a review, sharing with others, or becoming a patron. You can support the show for as little as $1 a month. For $3 a month, you will have access to 2 bonus exclusive episodes. Thanks for being here.